And the more I got in, some of these lessons, when you start to develop them and prepare them, it's like, oh my goodness, this is going to take a lot more work and preparation than what I thought. So stay tuned, it's coming. But I want to talk to you today just about some thoughts about your life here on earth and just the its limits. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is talking about the end of time, I understand. And he says, starting in verse 31 of Matthew 25, he says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" So he gathers all the people that have ever lived, and he separates them like a separate shepherd, like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then he turns to those on his right and he says, "Y'all come. I want you to have something. I've prepared something for you. There's a kingdom that I want that you are inheriting. And this kingdom was prepared from the foundation of the world." What that means is that before God created earth as our place to live, he had already created heaven as the next place for us to live. Before God made this temporary residence in which you are dwelling, he made your permanent place. Come inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. What that means is that you and all of your the human inhabitants that have ever shared the planet, you and they were made for more than this life. You are made for more than what this life can give you. You are made for another life as well. You were designed by God to live here on earth for a certain amount of time, and then you were designed to graduate on to the next life. Eternal life, or heaven, or the next life, is not a kind of an add-on second thought that God came up with as he got into human history. Before human history began, heaven history had already started. Okay? God made your place. He looked ahead and saw that you would live during these decades. He knew that you were going to live, and he prepared a place for you to be with him before Adam and Eve began their life. Okay? God knew you were going to exist before he made Adam and Eve, and he prepared a place for you to be with him forever. Now, the first humans, for the first several generations, humans lived on this earth for about 1,000 years. Adam lived to be like 930 years old is how old the first man lived. And the oldest man, Methuselah, older than Methuselah, 969 years, so about 1,000 years. You know, we don't know how, but the aging clock of the human body can be changed. We have babies born today that die of old age at 20 years old. We call that progeria. Geria means aging, pro means rapid, rapid aging. We look at that as a birth defect. Because for us, life is supposed to last 80 to 100 years old, right? And so when a child is born and they only... the first time I saw this was on a Phil Donahue show in Dwayne Vig's trailer in Denver back in 1983. Alana was a year old. Jeff was not yet born. And there was this little... There was a 16-year-old and a 20-year-old that Phil Donahue was interviewing. The 16-year-old girl looked like she was about 90. You know, her she had that face of a little 90-year-old woman. It was so weird because it was the voice of a girl coming from the face of a 90-year-old. The 20-year-old young man, all of his teeth were gone, all of his hair was gone, and they had him tied in a wheelchair. So normal age, what he would probably like was 110. That's called progeria. It doesn't happen very often, thank God. Because to us, that's not normal. Well, back before the flood of Noah, when people were living to be about 1,000 years old, they would have looked at us as being really abnormal. You guys only live to be about 100? That's strange. So the aging clock, the biological aging clock in the human body can be changed. We just don't know how. But God changed it at the flood. Noah's boys lived, Noah died at 950 years old. His boys died at like 600 years old, something. Their boys died, their children, like 400, 300, 200. Within a dozen generations from the flood, people were living about 100 years old. Okay? So it just dropped off. The point that, the only reason this is really worth hashing when it comes to the sermon that I'm sharing with you today is that even 1,000 years of existence on earth is not enough of a life in God's mind. What I'm saying is God made you to live forever. God wants to have a relationship with you that never ends. Those people that walked with God for 1,000 years before the flood, that wasn't enough time for God. He wanted an even longer relationship with those, with his children. No matter how good this life gets, it's not good enough. We have it pretty good. We have it pretty good. If you'd have been born 2,000 years ago and were some slave working in a salt mine, when life really sucked, you'd have really been focused on the next life. But the problem is, life is so good for us here and now, we tend to focus on it too much and not focus enough on the next life. Sometimes those blessings that God has given you, I mean, when you're, I thought about it, I stepped outside and I smelled that air today. It was so fresh. You know, and like when you're sitting on a horse and you're riding across the pasture and you're looking between the ears of that horse and you're smelling in that fresh smell of spring and you think to yourself, what do you think? Man, can't get any better than this. You're wrong. It can. It can get better than this. You're made for more than this. You're not made just for this life. You're made for the next life. This life is just supposed to be the warm-up. This is just the place where you learn to walk with God. You learn to trust in God so that the next life can be a good life. Now, God shrank human life from down from about 1,000 years down to 100 years. And it was because all that potential that people that God gave people, they were using it for evil. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says that the thought of the human heart was only evil continually. And it broke God's heart. The next verse said, and God was sorry that he'd made man, and he was cut to the heart, grieved to the heart. The first verse that talks about God's heart, it's a heart that's just broken. All that potential, you think if you're decide to be a surgeon, and you've got 1,000 years of life, how good a surgeon could you become over that 1,000 years? Really, really good. But let's say that you decide to be an assassin, a hitman, a murderer, and you use that same 1,000 years to become more and more evil. See? What God did is he limited human life. Now, in that 100 years time, you still can do a lot of the things that God planned for you to do. Learn to, you know, to relate with him, to relate with others. But the point is whether it's 1,000 years, or whether it's 100 years, or whether it's 20 years, God gives you enough time to get to know him, to get to relate with him, to get to walk with him, so that when you leave this life and go to the next life, it will be a good life. In Psalms 90, I think it's verse 12. I'll hurry and turn over there to it. This is just a powerful verse. It says, So, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Does that mean that you're going to know exactly how many days you're going to live before you? No. But just the fact that you know your days are numbered, that they're not unending, that your time here is limited. You cannot live wisely on earth unless you recognize that your time is limited, that you're not here forever. That's the only thing that's going to motivate you to get ready for the next life. If you think you're going to live here forever, why would you ever get ready for the next life? So there's this war that takes place within us. There's this tension. There's this struggle that we have. And literally the struggle is for us to detach ourselves enough from the activities of and the pleasures of this life so that we prepare for the next life. Because the next life will never end. Years ago, when I was the main youth group teacher, now I've got several people that are involved in that, we would sing this song, and it would always remind me of the story, and the poor kids, they heard it about 100 times, the story of the seagull that lived on the moon, and once a year would swing by the earth and pick up a grain of sand from one of the beaches of the earth and take it back and put it on the moon. Now, we didn't cover the physics of how this would eventually throw off all the balance of moon and earth, all the sand on moon, never mind that. And so another year would come by, and that seagull would swoop by the earth, pick up a grain of sand from one of the beaches of the earth, and take it and put it back on the moon. And then the next year, the seagull would swing by the earth and pick up a grain of sand and put it back out on the moon. And when this seagull had picked every grain of sand off of every beach on the earth, how long a time is that in eternity? Is that like a year in eternity? Is that like a month in eternity? Is that like a week in eternity? Is that like a day in eternity? Is that like an hour in eternity? Is that like a minute? It's not even a second in eternity. Eternity is never ending. So that war that rages within you, where this world wants to dominate your thoughts, where the worries and concerns of this world tend to keep you from preparing for the next world, we've got to fight that. We've got to keep our priorities. You are only here for a while. And I think of this friend of Sarah's age. Sarah's young. She's so young. She's so young. Well, when you're in your 60s, back in your 30s is young. So there's this girl that's her age, got 2 little ones, and she's in hospice. You know, I've done funerals for all ages. No, it's not fair, but it's life. You don't have a guarantee that you're going to die in your sleep at 99 years of age. You could drop over with a heart attack, a stroke. You could die in a car accident. On your way home this afternoon, have you ever met a semi-truck? How good are his front tires? Yours are good. I know yours are good. But I'll bet you that some of those semi-trucks out there, there may be a flaw in a tire. And if that tire blows just at the wrong time, you don't have time to react and get out of its way. Now, I've been to car accidents and seen what semis do to cars and their occupants. In those kind of ambulance calls, there's not a lot of hurry. Because my first car wreck that I went to as an EMT, it wasn't a semi, it was a straight truck, a 2-ton, but it was loaded with a big bunch of fertilizer, and it hit that car. It took the motor of that car, and it put it clear over in the right fender. Both people instantly died. It's so interesting to me, the person sitting in the passenger side, They must have covered their face at the last instant because their glasses that were just a mess, just crumpled, were still in their hand. Their glasses, their hand was still in front of their face. Glasses just crunched in their hand. And that's the way they were sitting. They were dead. The thread that holds your body and your spirit together is thin and rotting. The only wise person is the person who lives more for the next life than they do for this life. Now, you do have to live some for this life, especially if you've got kids. You got to make sure you got Wheaties in the closet and milk in the fridge. And, you know, I guess they can wear dirty socks for a couple of days. But eventually, at some point in time, they need clean socks, right? And you know, they put on their cleanest dirty shirt because the weekend's coming and we'll do laundry then. But, you know, so there are some things on this earth that you have to be focused on, you know. But people, you're going to blink twice. I think about how fast this year went by. We were fighting snow in the middle of May. Then we had all of 4 months, and we were fighting snow again, you know. We had our 4 days of summer. Right? Isn't that what it felt like to you, 4 days of summer? And 2019 is almost gone. And even for you young people, think how fast this year went by. And the year after this next one is going to go by even faster. And that year is going to go by faster. And that year is going to go by faster. And only the people who have had enough foresight to look ahead and keep their eternity in mind are the ones that are going to end up the winners in this life. I don't know what God needs to take away from you in order to get you to think about eternity. He may have to take your health away from you. I'm sure when you're sitting in hospice, you're thinking a lot more about your next life. But I pray that God takes away from us everything that He needs to for us to be truly focused on what it means to walk with God forever in eternity. Folks, this is a big deal. This is the biggest deal. There is nothing bigger than this deal. Let's stand and sing our closing song.